Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We've opened the phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. We're here live every day for one reason only, to receive your phone calls and address your questions with the Basic Gospel. If there's a question or something you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. Remember, it's your phone calls that fuel this broadcast. Take advantage of the open lines right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's your invitation to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's a passage of Scripture that really concisely states what this Basic Gospel message is all about. Romans 5:10, and if you study your Bible frequently, this is one of those passages you need to underline, star, memorize. It's just that powerful. And here's what Paul wrote in that particular verse. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. So there's the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And that death reconciled us to God the Father. Then he says this, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So there was this bringing us back to God so that we could experience life everlasting. And that truly is the gospel message. We were dead spiritually. We needed life. Jesus Christ took away the thing that killed us, sin, so that we could be made alive just as he was through resurrection power. That is the good news of the gospel. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 11, not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Are you rejoicing in Christ Jesus? I'm saying or asking this, regardless of the circumstances you may be going through right now. I mean, life may be really tough. You may be going through a financial nightmare. You may be experiencing emotional bondage. You just don't even know if you want to get up in the morning. But if you're saved, there's still room to rejoice because you have been reconciled to the one true God. You have been made alive together with Christ. And if you're really saved, you can see this joy. Maybe it's covered over, but it's still there because of this wonderful truth. Folks, in Christ, you've been reconciled to God the Father.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Absolutely. That's Basic Gospel, friends. And this is Basic Gospel with open lines, 1-800-677-9377. The clock is ticking, and so we'd like to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to start in Louisville, Kentucky today and talk to Rentha, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Rentha.
This is not the first time I'm calling Joy broadcast. I'm calling and ask a question. In my faith, I'm apostolic. They teach us that Jesus is just one in the God. It's Jesus only. They teach us that Jesus was Father in creation, Son in redemption, Holy Ghost in the church. That's the first question. And the second one is, if it has been revealed that your pastor has committed adultery, should you stay under his leadership?
Well, Rentha, good questions. As far as, you know, Jesus only kind of versus the Trinity, I think the Bible is pretty clear that it speaks of a Trinity. It speaks of a Godhead. Let's put it in those terms. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. There was a point in time when Jesus Christ became flesh and he dwelt among us. And so we can relate to him. Everything that we can know about God is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. And he ascended into heaven. You know, after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven and he sent his Spirit to take up residence in us. So It is God the Father who lives in us, for example. It's Jesus Christ the Son that lives in us. It's God the Holy Spirit that lives in us. They're all one, but manifested in three persons. It's something, Rentha, that we have a hard time really understanding just because our minds aren't big enough. We don't have enough space in these brains of ours to fully comprehend the finite an infinite reality. But I think, I know, Rentha, there are certain denominations that really speak boldly and adamantly that it's just Jesus only, that, as you said, that it's just Jesus in creation, Jesus in redemption, and Jesus, as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned. But I think that's taking it a little bit, I don't think that's exactly what Scripture reveals. I think there's a Godhead, there's a pluralism in the Godhead, let us make man in our own image, let us go down and confuse their language. We see, those types of passages in the Old Testament, and those verbs are plural, they're not singular. So I think the Bible speaks to a Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Well, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Jesus in the commission said, go in all the world, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Is there a description in the two commissions?
Well, I don't think there's a discrepancy there. Jesus is the one who died. Jesus was the one that was buried. Jesus was the one who was raised to life. He is both the Lord and God. Certainly that is true. I think Peter was just recognizing the fact that Jesus was indeed the long-awaited Messiah. And so he's saying, be baptized into him. There's a place where Paul wrote that the Israelites were baptized into Moses. They were immersed into his leadership, placed under his care, basically. And I think Jesus was the prophet that was to come, like Moses. And so they're simply saying, be baptized into him. But that doesn't negate what Jesus said there at the end of Matthew 28.
Okay.
Now, as far as the pastor, you were talking about a pastor and revealed that he had committed adultery, and I think in a situation like that, there's something definitely going on that needs to be addressed as far as the pastor is concerned. I think the church in that particular instance should take good care of him, should try to help him and minister to him, and I think in a situation like that, it's important that he steps away from the public ministry and just really comes to a point and looks kind of underneath the hood to say, what's really going on here? Obviously, there's something going on. So I think that's how that should take place. The pastor should voluntarily step aside at that point. If he's insistent on staying at the helm, I think that just reveals greater issues that are going on with
him. If he repents, though, and suppose he repents and turn away from it, would that still be good for him to pastor?
Well, I think that's where the church and the leadership of a church needs to come in and let the Spirit of God kind of lead the way in that particular situation.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you, Rentha. Thanks for your great call today.
Couple of open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's go to Viviana in Brooklyn, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Viviana.
Hello there. Thank you for taking my call. My heart is grieved because Mayor-elect de Blasio is one of his first actions in January will be attempting to close down pregnancy resource centers and use public spaces to expand the so-called health and reproductive centers that actually are there to help women abort their problems. And I find that in this season that abortion and gay marriage are starting to become the third rail, and the culture is causing pastors, leaders, to be silent. And I just wanted to, to share that with you and see what you felt about it and whether you're seeing that in the rest of the nation.
Well, Viviana, I don't think pastors are being silent on those issues. I don't think they've been silent on them at all.
I'm not saying overall, but I'm saying key leaders have to stand up and say, we will not accept this. And I'm one in the leadership, so I'm just saying we all have to get together.
Yeah, well, Viviana, I agree. I think we need to take a stand. I think we need to do so on several different fronts. It's not just a political stand that we need to make. I think it's a gospel stand that we need to make.
Amen.
And there are certainly women every single day that are contemplating whether to abort their baby or to keep their baby. And we, as believers in Christ, need to intersect with them. We need to come to their aid individually. And I think that's where the real issue is going to be won or lost, so to speak. And if we can meet with women individually and help in that arena and be there to be a support, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, I think we can see some positive things start to happen. I think one of our problems as believers is that we only choose one single front to fight at. And most of the time that's the political front, and we just haven't been able to win that battle. But I know of a great organization, for example, in Atlanta called the Atlanta Care Center. They are a gospel-based pregnancy crisis resource center, and it's amazing the work that they do. And it's amazing the results that they see in the lives of people. They're not only saving the lives of children, they're seeing moms come to know Jesus personally. And I think that's how we address this issue as believers. We get into the middle of it. We roll up our sleeves. We rub shoulders with those folks who are confused, those moms that are confused, who are trying to figure out which way to go, and we love on them in Christ, show them what the gospel message is, show them that God can truly work this together for their good, and let the Spirit of God lead them in a direction that is appropriate. So I think that's where our voice is. Has the greatest impact is right there on the front lines.
Amen. We're doing that in what's called the Life Team, and we are getting together with those in the Catholic pro-life, and we're trying to use the commonality between the issue of life, exposing people to where the pregnancy resource centers are, like Midtown Pregnancy Resource Center, and there's going to be one built in Queens. So I know exactly what you're saying in terms of that. But
well,
I don't
and
know.
Viviana, one of the things that I think we probably need to do a better job is making visible, Richard on our staff, that's kind of his phrase, making things visible. And that is really an important phrase. A lot of times things that are happening behind the curtain, so to speak, you know, folks just don't realize what's truly going on. And I think we need to do a better job of making visible what God is doing through believers in this world today. And I think when we take a look at that, we'd be astounded. We would be amazed at God's work. And certainly, Viviana, you're on the front lines and you're seeing God do incredible things, and God bless you for that.
Praise the Lord always, and just keep New York in prayer.
We certainly will.
Too many babies have not had a chance to even breathe the breath of life.
Well, that's the way it is all over the world right now. And we just keep allowing God, trusting God to use you in that arena. Maybe you're not going to see the big epic changes take place, but I guarantee you, you're going to see incredible things happen in just individual lives that you encounter day by day. So, Viviana, thanks for your call, and God bless you. Let's go to Robert in Manhattan. Hi, Robert.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
You guys have been a wonder in my life, and I was curious to find out what you guys thought about the conversation I had with a Jehovah Witness today who tried to tell me emphatically that Jesus was born, and I tried to refer to him to some scriptures, and when I did, the most famous one being John 3:16, and he referred to Colossians 1:15, and he said, and he read it, and he said that Jesus was born in heaven. And I said, no, Jesus said that if you see me, you see the Father. I am the Father are one, that nobody comes to the Father except through me. And then he said, well, this, you know, he's talking about the Trinity, and that I know you spoke about this earlier, that that didn't exist. And I told him that, you know, it did. And, you know, the Father, when you pray, you say, our Father, and you talk about his will being done in our life. And I referred to him to Isaiah, that Jesus was prophesied to the prophets 800 years before he was born, that he would come, and that in order to get to heaven, you need a Savior. And he said, no, you don't need Jesus, you just need God. And there's only one God.
So well, they don't believe that Jesus is God. I mean, that's their whole
correct.
That's their whole premise. And they've rewritten the Bible to fit their belief system. For example, John 1:1, in the beginning was God, or in the beginning was God, or was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, they changed that to say the Word was a God, not the God or God. So they've rewritten the Scripture to fit their belief system, and I think they do so, you know, at huge risk.
To their peril.
That's exactly right. So
with relationship to Colossians 1:15, I told him you can't stand on one verse, that you have to compare Scripture with Scripture, and he was very adamant about, no, this is what it says, and he wouldn't move off that one Scripture.
Well, that particular passage, and I'll just read it, it says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So they're stuck on that word firstborn. See, he was born, so he is a created being. But that word has nothing to do with whether he was born or created. It has everything to do with his position. He is the preeminent one. He stands above all of creation. Creation is underneath him. That's what that passage refers to. Psalm 89:27 speaks to that as well. I will make him my firstborn son, the mightiest king on earth. That's what this is all about. So all authority has been given to Jesus. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. What is that? That's a position of authority. This word firstborn reflects that. That's what that passage is all about. So it in no way is saying that Jesus was born in heaven, nor is it saying that he is a created being. It's simply saying he is the preeminent one. He reigns over all.
Well, when you said, and I agree with you, and thank you for clearing that up for me, that you're not supposed to add to the Bible or take away from the Bible.
That's correct.
And that's what they, I guess, they and a lot of other people have clearly done. And if you refer to 2 Timothy 3:16, I would just refer to that passage, as I told him early today in our conversation. Was that a good idea?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's what I want to do for you, Robert, and I certainly appreciate your heart, your love of the truth and wanting to get truth in people's hands. We have a wonderful resource, the 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Jehovah's Witness. It was put together by a friend of mine named Ron Rhodes. He just does an excellent job in this, and I think it will better equip you if you have a conversation again sometime in the future. So I'd love to put this into your hands, just our compliments to you for being a part of the program, if you would like it.
Yes, wonderful, absolutely. I sure would. I'd read it cover to cover.
Okay. You hang on, Robert. We'll get it to you as quickly as we can. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Robert. And, of course, that book is available through our bookstore at store.basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net, the 10 most important things you can say to a Jehovah's Witness or to a Mormon.
Yes, indeed. We have both of those. Well, let's go to Janice in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Janice.
Hey, how are you, Pastor?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Thanks for taking my call. Pastor, I have a problem with my church. My problem is this. Now, I'm a member of the church. I was baptized there in 2005, and we have a thing we call mourning, which other people will call it as when you fasting, but we do it different. In the spiritual Baptist church, we call it mourning, which means the pastor will anoint you and everything, and wrap your head and wrap your eyes. And he would put you in a room in the back, and there you're going to be for all these days, like 7 days. And then you're going to start getting visions and so forth. You're going to start seeing things, and they come in and they pray with you to ring the bells or the candle work and so forth. Anyway, Pastor, my problem is this. Now, in my church, my problem is that if you're not financially equipped to drop a big envelope in the basket with money, you are not recognized in the church as a member. I want to know what's going on. Give me something on, just throw some light for me on this, please. And I think it is wrong.
Well, Janice, I think you're exactly right. The only requirement, you know, let's kind of separate, you know, a couple of issues, okay? So there's your church that you go to. The leadership of that church, they have membership requirements in place. If you want to be a member in good standing of that church, you have to meet all of these requirements. Well, those are man-made requirements. Those aren't requirements as revealed in the Word of God. Then, so there's your church, and then there's the Church of Jesus Christ, the ecclesia, the body. And we join that the day we trust Christ for salvation. The day we trust his death, his burial, and his resurrection as our means of salvation. When that happens, God's Spirit baptizes us or places us into the body, and we become full-fledged members of the body. That's by grace. There were no requirements, just simply trusting Jesus. So you're a member of the body of Christ, and that's what you need to rejoice in. Now, this church that you go to, it's putting a lot of burdens upon your shoulders in order to fit in. Burdens which the gospel message does not lay out. So if I'm you, I take a very close look, and I ask the question, is this the place that God really wants me to be? Is this a place that is really consistent with the clear teaching of the Word of God? And based on what you've said, Janice, I don't see that it is lining up with the teaching of the Word of God. So I think you are being cautioned by God himself. Heed those cautions. Allow God's Spirit to lead you. Well, Janice, we're out of time. We sure appreciate your call today. You hang on.
And thanks to everybody for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We are here every day, and we invite you to be here also. For your support of Basic Gospel in any amount, we have an excellent 3-CD series for you. It's called Profiles in Character, and it's by Bob Christopher. In the series, Bob shows that sometimes in life, the most unlikely of people prove to be the true heroes. Through 3 specific stories, you'll see the secret to experiencing genuine contentment in life, the importance of being thankful, and how to make a difference in the lives of others. It's Profiles in Character. Yours for a gift of any amount. To make your gift and receive your CD series, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. We also invite you to join our email list by clicking subscribe in the upper menu at basicgospel.net. You'll get late news about the ministry, upcoming events, and information about new products and resources to enhance your understanding of this thing that we call the Christian life. So click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. Also, if you like what you hear every day on Basic Gospel, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.